morning, everybody. Our first reading is from the book of Amos the prophet to Israel, chapter 5, beginning at verse 18. Woe to you who long for the day of the Lord. Why do you long for the day of the Lord? That day will be darkness, not light. It will be as though a man fled from a lion only to meet a bear, as though he entered his house and rested his hand on the wall, only to have a snake bite him. Will not the day of the Lord be darkness, not light, pitch dark, without a ray of brightness? I despise your religious feasts. I cannot stand your assemblies. Even though you bring me burnt offerings and grain offerings, I will not accept them. Though you bring choice fellowship offerings, I will have no regard for them. Away with the noise of your songs. I will not listen to the music of your harps. But let justice roll on like a river, righteousness like a never-failing stream. Whakarongo ki te kupu a te wairua ki te hahi. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Kia mou tonu tana kupu ki a tātou. And our Taronga Pai Tapu, the Holy Gospel for today, is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 25, beginning at the first verse. Praise and glory to God, te whakamoe miti te karoria ki te atua. This passage is part of a bigger portion of Scripture where the disciples are asking Jesus about the signs of his return and the end of the age. And he is teaching them in both specifics and in parables. At that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps but did not take any oil with them. The wise, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, the cry rang out, "Here's the bridegroom, come out and meet him." Then all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish ones said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, our lamps are running out." "No," they replied, "there may be not enough for both us and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves." But while they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the others also came. "Sir, sir," they said, "open the door for us." But he replied, "I tell you the truth, I don't know you. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour." Te ronga pai, tēnei ātea ka aiti, this is the Gospel of Christ. Praise to Christ the Word, whakamoe mititia ea te kupu mana.
Feedback there. Tēnā koutou katoa, kia ora e hui hui mai nei, e mihi ana. Call Miriam Toku Ingoa. So, before I start, I just want to say that my son, Elijah, was just running the Kapiti half marathon, and he did it in 1 hour and 33 minutes. That's fast, eh? Tama just texted me. And I said to him, was it faster than his normal record? And he said he beat it by 24 minutes. So, that's very fast. It's a lot faster than I ever did mine in, but I won't say that anymore. It's really nice to be sharing with you today. Sorry, Penny, for embarrassing you. It's a little bit awkward, isn't it? And I'll embarrass you again. No. I've actually spoken about Penny at church before. You might remember me talking about her. So if I ever talk about her again, you know, you can visualise her next time I speak about her. So last year, our daughter Grace got married to Ben. Can you pop the first slide up? Oh, look at this. Really, I just want to tell you all about this amazing wedding that we had. So she was our first child to get married, and it was the most beautiful day. We went up to Auckland for a week before to get ready for it. So Tama made the trestle tables there that you can see, and me and Grace and her mother-in-law painted some fabric that we hung, I didn't get a good photo of that, so that's not up there. And then Grace and Ben painted all the signs where we were going, and they designed their wedding invitations, and then we did all the flowers, and it was just so, so nice. Can you put the video on? We made these amazing decorations. See the bottom left corner? And this is a video of us maybe a night before the wedding, or a couple of nights before the wedding, and my family and I practicing with the decorations. This is what it's like when you hang out in our house. Yeah. My nephew there, we're all having great fun. That is me. But by then, Ben probably wondered what he had entered into, but it was too late. It was too late by then. Couldn't back out. So the wedding was held in the garden of a friend of a friend, and it was magnificent, and we were so incredibly blessed to have the wedding there. Can you pop the next slide up? So we had lawn games, and we had this big picnic lunch, and then in the evening we had a marquee, and they had braziers and this Italian food truck and speeches and dancing. And it was just this beautiful, beautiful, incredible day. Over there you can see, we probably can't, but it says Nana and Pop's relish and Granby's jam. And so Thomas' parents made relish and my mum made jam. And so then we could put it on the bread and the crackers and cheese. And it was just so, so, so nice. And it was actually kind of a little bit strange, because if you can imagine the wedding, so just imagine that this is set up like a wedding, and usually the bride walks in from there, and everyone's standing and turning and looking and watching the bride come in. But because of the way that it worked, Grace actually came in from this side up on this hill, and we had to walk down this tiny little stone staircase. And like, you know, tiptoeing like this. And Tama was in the front and holding Grace's flowers and sort of pushing the overgrowth out of the way. And then came Grace, and I was behind holding her veil and train. So if you can just pop that next slide up. So this is the bride's, that's Evie Joy, the flower girl, and the bridesmaids all walking down this archway of this, it was. And then if you can put the next one up. And then there's me and Tama walking in our child, oldest child. And the thing that I found amazing about Grace was how calm she had been the whole way through. And I've asked Grace if I can share this story, and she's fine with that, just so you know. But Grace and Ben's path was not totally straightforward. The first 6 months of their relationship, Ben was living in London and Grace was living in Auckland, so they had a long-distance relationship. And then Grace had planned her OE, and so she had this two-year plan, and she had sold her car and she had quit her job and she had packed all of her stuff up and stored it in our shed, as children do. And she had flown over to the UK, and part of the two-year plan was going to be with Ben, but the day after she arrived in London, London completely shut down because of the pandemic. They weren't quite sure what to do, but they'd made a friend, Ben had made a friend, and so they went to Wales for 2 weeks, and Ben's dad actually is the head of intensive care at Auckland Hospital, and he did a lot of COVID research, and he said to them, "I think you need to come home." And so they managed to fly in just before they had to do the, what's that thing where you had to stay in a hotel? Quarantine. So they managed to fly in. But she was just crushed because she'd had this big dream and plan. And he was crushed as well. And their relationship was kind of put into a slightly sort of unorganic space. Because it wasn't their original plan. And they got engaged and they began to plan their wedding. However, they hit some bumps in the road. And the result of this was about 6 weeks or maybe 2 months before their wedding, they actually postponed it. And they did months of counselling as they moved towards setting a new date and beginning their lives as husband and wife. So the week of the wedding and on the week of the wedding leading up and on the day, there wasn't a bridezilla in sight. Grace was so calm and so relaxed, and she just didn't stress the small stuff. And I honestly wasn't expecting this. I had this flashback to her year 12 ball where she was getting ready and she'd arrived home from the hairdresser, and I bad decision, but I hairsprayed just a little bit of her hair because I was worried that the curl would fall out. And honestly, she bit my head off and she was so angry with me and the stress was getting to her. So I kind of had visions of what, you know, like maybe that's what she would be like. But here on her wedding day, the most significant day of her life to that point, and she was just so happy and relaxed. And the only kind of wobbly but funny moment was when we were walking down those stone steps and the bridesmaids were walking, and she suddenly was just so nervous. She said, "I think I'm going to vomit." And Thomas said, "Well, as long as you don't vomit on me, we should be all good. Just turn around and face your mum." And I was like, charming, thank you, husband. But I think that the reason that she was so relaxed was all the work that they had done leading up to the wedding. They had done months of individual counselling, and then they had done a few months of couples counselling, and they had taken a break from wedding planning, and they had put time and effort into going on dates and having fun together. The wise ones took oil in their jars along with the lamps. The wise ones took oil in their jars along with the lamps. Can you pop that next slide up? Look at that. It's a bit cute, isn't it? Grace and Ben had taken oil in their jars. They were prepared. They were ready. And it wasn't just about the wedding day and the dress and the trestle tables and the flowers. It was about the marriage. It was about their hearts and their minds and their relationship. They had oil in their jars. So what about the time and culture of weddings when this parable was written? So Jewish weddings were often arranged by the parents of the bride and groom, and when a boy was very young and the parents of that boy would begin sort of looking around for a girl for him to marry, and they would look for a family that they would want to be related to. And if that family had a young girl, the two families would come to some kind of arrangement and a promise that when their children were old enough, they would get married. And as the boy grew, he would learn a trade, quite often the same trade as his father. And when he became good enough at it, he would begin working on that trade on his own so that he could make a living. And when he was doing fairly well on his own, or maybe in partnership with his father, he would begin to construct his house. And he might be in his late teens or early 20s by now, and depending on the house he was building or the trade, he might even be in his 30s, I suppose. And when this trade was learned and the house was completely finished, he would get his friends together and they would have a wedding parade and they would go through town and they would get his bride. And while all of this was going on, the bride was preparing herself as well. And during the years that the groom is learning his trade and building his house, she was learning to become a woman and a wife and a mother. And she was sewing her wedding gown. And since she doesn't know the hour or the day that her groom might come, she's got to be ready. Ready at all times. And she knows that the day is drawing near because maybe her friends might give her updates and they might say about how the house construction's going. Like, oh, he's got the roof on now. So she's thinking, oh, right, roof shout. And maybe he put the fence up yesterday. And, you know, when they start moving the furniture in, she'd probably know that the day was close. And as this wedding day draws near, nearer and nearer, she just must be ready at all times. And it wasn't a good way to start your wedding if the bridegroom's parade shows up and you are not there. But if she was ready, they would go off together to his family's housing complex, where they would have a wedding ceremony and a supper for their close friends and family of the bridegroom. And after the ceremony and supper, there would be this amazing wedding celebration for the whole town. Not just for the small group, but for everyone. And everybody who they were remotely acquainted with were there. Everybody imaginable was invited. That's not how we did it. Would have cost a little bit too much money if we'd done it like that. And there would be this night of entertainment and celebration. And these virgins, these 10 virgins, were probably a little bit like the bridesmaids. And in that culture, these women would perform a dance around the couple at this big celebration. And they would dance until their torches burned out. But today, I don't really want to focus on the 10 dancing virgins, or the bride, or the celebration. I want to focus on the oil. So when I started reading this parable and thinking about what message was for me and for all of us, there were quite a lot of things that came to mind. And I thought about when I heard this parable as a child, always being ready in case Jesus comes back. And I can remember thinking I had to be on my best behavior, because what if I came back and I got left behind? Did anyone else ever have those thoughts? No, just me? Okay. And I have definitely moved on from that kind of thinking. I think that's probably a sermon for another day. I'll leave that to Mark. But the thing that got me thinking when I was reading about this verse was the oil. So what does the oil represent? And this morning, for me, the oil represents all the gifts that we've been given, these gifts that we've been given for ourselves and for others to grow in our faith, gifts that we've been given to edify and to lift others up. Can you pop the slide up of the gifts? So what are the gifts? How do we get them? How does it work? What's the point of them? So they're mainly talked about in Corinthians and in Ephesians and in 1 Peter. They're sort of touched on a little bit. And it's all in the name, really, spiritual gifts. And as you're looking at these, there's probably some that you're quite familiar with. Some might be a little bit new for you. And I was talking to Mark about this topic of spiritual gifts, and one of the things he said, which was such a good reminder to me, was that this list is not exhaustive. And I've said this before when I've spoken, but the moment we put God in a box is the moment we limit what he can do. It's the moment that we limit what we can do through him, or rather what he can do through us. And I think an example of that, and I talked to Mark about it, was music. So it's not listed in that kind of generic, but in that known list, I guess, that we have as spiritual gifts. But I think it is a spiritual gift. I think it helps people draw closer to God's Spirit, you know, through personal use, and when we get to experience this beautiful concept of worship, sung worship, like we did this morning. And the thing about these gifts is that God gives them, and some of them might be for life, and some of them might be just for a one-off specific moment in time. When I was growing up, we went to a Baptist church in Palmerston North, and I would say it's, do we have any Baptists in the room? Any other Baptists? One. Yeah, nice. That's nice. And I would say that it was a pretty middle-of-the-road kind of church. Like, people clapped in worship, and there was some raising of hands sometimes. But that's kind of... there was one woman that, maybe on three occasions, she danced in the Spirit. But that was probably the most outwardly expressiveness of spiritual gifts of some of the bigger ones, if you kind of know what I'm talking, not bigger ones, that's wrong, ones that are, how would I describe them, you know, demonstrative, we'll say that, demonstrative, good word, and I can remember one Sunday at the end of worship, a member of the congregation stood up and they spoke in tongues. And this just didn't happen in that church. And I had heard tongues being spoken out loud before in another church that I'd gone to. So I wasn't like, wah! But in the time that I'd been part of that church, was probably about 10 years by that stage, I hadn't actually heard that happen before. And the pastor was so great, and he stood up and he just said, he explained what happened, and he said, now what we're going to do is we're going to wait. because God obviously has a message for us this morning, and I believe that he's going to give someone an interpretation for what's been said. And we just stood and we waited. And suddenly I felt hot and my hands were sweaty and these verses came into my head and I was like, oh. And I was probably about 17 and I was like, oh, I don't think so. I thought, oh, this is just a random coincidence that these specific verses have just popped into my head. And I just stood there and I was like, oh, this is nothing about me. And then we just stood for longer. And then my heart was beating faster and faster. You could probably hear it. And then these verses just became clearer and clearer in my head. And then the pastor said, it's okay. We're just going to keep waiting. Because God has given someone a message and he wants us to hear it. And I'm just standing there and I'm like, and I just thought, actually, I think that I might have that message. And I just stood up, well, we were all standing anyway, and I just said, I just think maybe God might be saying this. And I explained what had come into my head. And the most encouraging thing for me was that after the service, two people came up to me and said they had exactly the same verses pop into their heads. And they were both about to speak when I did, and they were like, phew! and that has never happened to me again. God gave me that gift for a specific moment in time. And the thing with gifts is that this list, like I said, it's not exhaustive. And there can be gifts that you might get for life. You'll be looking at this and you'll be thinking, I know I have that. I know I have that gift. And I know that that's with me forever. But some of you might have just received a gift, because that's what it is, eh? It's this beautiful thing that we receive, just once, because God knew that someone needed it right then and there, and he used you to deliver a blessing or a healing or to help bring someone closer to Jesus in some way. And the other thing that I just want to touch on is that no gift is better than the other. There's no order. I just put them in. There's no one is better than the other. So please don't feel like if you don't have one, you're not as good as the person who has the one that you might want. That sounded confusing, but I think you probably know what I mean. My mum has the gift of hospitality. And I know that some people are hospitable, but she just has this amazing gift of hospitality. She makes jams and chutneys and she's constantly giving it away. It's so good. Every time I go, I'm like, oh, I take my empty jars and I leave with full jars. She makes these gorgeous little sheepskin, like cool baby booty things that she crochets, and she's always got some so that if ever someone in church or someone she knows, a neighbour's having a baby, her neighbour recently had a baby and she delivered jam probably and these little booties, and she is always inviting her people around to her home for meals. The other night she had the youth group progressive dinner come to her house. She's on the cups of tea at church. She does catering at funerals. She's 77. She's quite a young 77, but you know, she is just constantly sharing this beautiful gift of hospitality with others. And it's such an example to me. It's such a good example to me. And I don't do it anywhere near as good as her. But then I think, but actually that's her gift. And there's other things that I can do maybe that mum doesn't do. And it's just so, I love it. I love it. And I love how people are drawn to her. And I love how she draws people to Jesus through this beautiful gift of hospitality. So what about you? What are the spiritual gifts that God has given you? Some of you might know your spiritual gifts. Some of you, did anyone do that thing? It was probably like 15, 20 years ago. It was like there was a book on spiritual gifts and you did like a quiz and you tick boxes. Did anyone do that? Network, yeah, that was quite good. I mean, it was quite like contained and maybe a little bit you know. But it actually was quite helpful, especially if you'd never done something like that before, just to kind of start to sort of figure out, you know, what do I think God has for me? What are some of the gifts that I have in my life? And another way, I guess, of trying to figure out what gifts that you have is talking to people who know you the best, showing them this list and thinking, are there any of these things that you think that I'm good at, and praying about it and getting confirmation from others as well. But what I want us to do now is I want us to have a bit of a conversation, and I want you just to turn to your neighbours, and we're just going to spend 5 minutes or so just talking about what experiences you might have had in your life where you perhaps know that a spiritual gift that you've had that you're able to use. It might have been a one-off, it might be a all the time, or maybe an experience that you've had where you've got to be on the other end, the receiving end of somebody else's spiritual gift. So I'm just going to let you shuffle around now. Grace and Ben prepared for their marriage, the months of investment that they did into their relationship was oil for their marriage, oil for our relationship with Jesus, and getting prepared and living this life in this image of Jesus is using our oil, these gifts that we've been given. It's such a blessing to be able to use these gifts to bless others and to encourage them and to give wisdom and to heal and be hospitable and to teach. And there's so much as well as giving that we receive through giving, but also through others. At the end of the service today, we are going to provide the opportunity for anyone who would like prayer to receive any spiritual gifts. If you've never, ever asked for that, I don't want anyone to go home who's never asked for a prayer for them to be able to receive gifts. If anyone would just like more of something, or I don't know, I'm not like an expert. I've asked the prayer team to be on this morning, you know. But I don't want anyone to go home and feel like, oh, I didn't ask, you know. You can actually just ask in your own time as well. But the beautiful thing about community is that we do it together, eh? You know, and it says in the Bible, when two or more are gathered, Jesus is there with us. And I think that's something. I think that that's another way that God uses the gifts, is for us to be able to pray for each other to receive them. So I really would love it if people would want to take up that opportunity after the service. And I'd love to hear about any experiences that anyone has had, because I think it's so encouraging and uplifting when we get to hear the way that that Jesus is using each of us and the gifts that he's given us. I'll just pray to finish this time off. Dear Lord, we just thank you. I just want to pray just a blessing over Grace and Ben, actually. I just thank you for them and for the work that they did to prepare, not for their wedding day, but for their life together, for their marriage, Lord. I just pray for a blessing over them. But Lord Jesus, this morning, we just thank you for these beautiful things, these gifts that you've left for us here on earth. You're not walking among us in a physical presence, but you are with us by your Holy Spirit. And the gifts that you give each of us are ways that we can grow ourselves, but also bless others. We just ask, Holy Spirit, this morning that you rest on each of us. I just pray, Lord, that if there is a specific gift that you want somebody to receive, that they do so this morning, Lord Jesus. I pray that this helps us grow, not just individually, but corporately. We thank you that we have the opportunity to do this together. Here as a community of St. Luke's, we just thank you for that, Lord. In your name, amen.
You are our God. You are good. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are the Spirit of life. We thank you, Father God, that when you made everything, you made it through your word, through your Son, through your breath, through your Spirit hovering over the waters of creation as you speak the word, let there be light. Thank you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that you're involved in our creation, in our redemption, that all things come from you, and of your own do we give you. Thank you for your redeeming love and life. Etifano atakaraiti, brothers and sisters in Christ, the Lord is here. So lift up your hearts and let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, Father. It's our duty and our joy at all times and in all places to give you thanks and praise because you are the source of life for all creation. And you made us in your own image. And when we sinned and turned away, you sent us Jesus, your Son, who became one of us so that we might become one with you. And therefore, with the faithful who rest in him, with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven, we worship you, O God, and praise your name, together saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. All glory be to you, Almighty God, because on the night before he died, your Son Jesus Christ took bread, and when he had given you thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this to remember me. And after supper, he took the cup. And when he had given you thanks, he gave it to them and said, Drink this, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it to remember me. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. So, loving God, recalling now Christ's death and celebrating his bursting from the tomb, we ask you to accept this our sacrifice of praise. By your Holy Spirit, let these gifts of your creation be to us the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Form us into the likeness of Christ and strengthen us to be his body in the world. Look with favor on your people and in your mercy hear the cries of our hearts. Bless the earth heal the sick, let the oppressed go free, and fill your church with power from on high. Amen. Come, Holy Spirit. United in Christ with all who stand before you in earth and heaven, we worship you, O God, in songs of everlasting praise. Blessing, honor, and glory be yours, here and everywhere, now and forever. Amen. Amen. And we sit or kneel to pray the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, now and forever. Amen. And we break this bread to share in the body of Christ. We, who are many, are one body, because we all share the one bread. So, haere mai, iti kahui a te atua. Haere mai, ki te tepu a te karaiti. Come, God's people. Come and share Christ's heavenly food.